The past year of citizen protests and demonstrations calling for democratic reforms in the island nation of Bahrain haven't gotten a lot of attention here in the U.S. That was why Linda Sartor answered a short-notice call to go to the Persian Gulf monarchy earlier this month.
They feel invisible. There's a lot of international attention right now going to Syria, but there's a lot of brutality happening to the protesters in Bahrain, protesters that are standing up for democracy, and the U.S. is supporting the cruel monarchy.
The Santa Rosa woman joined a group of 14 international activists and observers who arrived in Bahrain on February 10th. She was among the 11 who were actually admitted to the country with the help of a little role-playing.
They were turning away anybody who they thought was a human rights activist, and they also were turning away journalists. We thought it might be a good idea to try to go in as rich tourists that were going to spend a lot of money in Bahrain.
But instead of checking into a five-star hotel, Sartor was met by local demonstrators and quickly got a taste of what they were facing, regular doses of tear gas, which she believes is administered punitively.
I saw people who every day since June have been protesting. It appears to me that every day that they protest, they're met with tear gas that's supplied by the U.S. And they all know that. The canisters all say U.S. on them. They use tear gas as punishment. Tear gas is supposed to be used as a crowd control. When the tear gas starts, people start to run and they do disperse, but they keep shooting canisters into the crowd. Tear gas is coming from all directions. It was actually my first encounter with tear gas. I was lucky and didn't get too much exposure, so I didn't have the feeling that I wasn't going to be able to breathe, but that's what happens also.
On February 13th, Sartor's third day in Bahrain, a huge, legally permitted protest was planned, although not in the central Pearl Roundabout, where the demonstrations first began. The roundabout was later destroyed by the government, but thousands of protesters tried to go to the site anyway, and Sartor was caught up in their surge.
Huge mobs turned off to go towards the Pearl Roundabout, and that's when the tear gas started. I was with one of the local Bahrainis, and we went off in that direction. I got lost from him, but then when the tear gas started coming and everybody was running, another local man sort of took me under his wing and got a carload of women to stop, and he just put me into the car.
Yet it was after she was safely away from the maelstrom, walking in a quiet neighborhood, that police recognized Sartor and a companion and detained them.
We had walked past a police station, and we were just one block away from it. They put us in police vans. They just drove us around the corner back to the police station that we had just walked past. There were four of us in the police station that we were in. Later, we found out that there were two others who had made it to the protest and had gotten arrested there. So six of us ended up getting arrested and deported that night.
Aside from the whiffs of tear gas, Sartor says she was not ill-treated, although the same is not so for many native protesters. So her message, now that she's back home, is to call for an end of U.S. support for the repressive regime in Bahrain.
The main way that the U.S. is supporting Bahrain is by arms deals and supplying the tear gas. So encourage Congress people to vote against supplying any further military aid or arms to Bahrain until the human rights situation has improved there.
I'm Bruce Robinson for KRCB's North Bay Report.